Well, hello, everyone. My name is Jean Tiberio, and I'm a nutritionist and a wellness coach. Welcome to Healing Outside the Box. Here we have episode 214, and I'm calling it, What Happens When We Eat Exactly? Well, the general answer is quite a lot, but I'll get into the details with you today. And FYI, these are not exciting details, but I always think it's a good idea to know the why of things. I realized just recently that we're throwing around terms like leaky gut. Ooh, that sounds like a leaky gut to me. Ooh, leaky gut. Not a leaky gut. Without explaining clearly what it is and how it got there. Almost everyone I know is suffering from either some type of GI ailment or some type of allergic or immune function problem. And I'm here to tell you today that those two things are not necessarily a coincidence. In order to understand why something is happening and correct it, it helps to know the basics. Now, I might be tooting my horn here a bit, but consider me the Bill Nye the Science Guy of digestion and absorption, with about 1 million less followers. Oh, speaking of that, I am now on Instagram, and you can follow me there. Just type in my name, Jean Tiberio, and the Jean is spelt the French way, J-E-A-N-N-E. Oh, and also, by the way, Bill Nye, my favorite science guy, is giving the graduation address at Cornell University this Saturday, May 25th, and Cornell is streaming it live. Bill Nye was in the class of 77, and I didn't even know that. I entered in the fall of 78, so I just missed him. Just think, if we were there at the same time, our auras could have crossed in the night. I could have seen him across a crowded room, and we could have fallen in love. We could have sat there on the grassy hill overlooking Cayuga Lake, his bow tie sparkling in the moonlight. By the way, once again, I'm being quite serious here. That's the kind of guy I would have fallen for back then. By the way, once again, if you haven't seen Bill Nye freaking out on John Oliver's show, it is quite funny. I'll give you a link to it in the show notes. Okay, so let's get to it. Digestion and absorption. There are basically two parts to it. The GI tract, which is a very long tube going from your mouth to your anus. The GI tract consists of the esophagus, stomach, small intestines, and large intestines. The second part of digestion is the organs, which are the liver, pancreas, and gallbladder. Let's start with the GI tract. The initial breakdown of food happens in the mouth with a few enzymes. Enzymes are proteins that either break down things or build up things or do other things to things. For example, say you've got yourself a chemical reaction. You've got your substrate that reacts to make your end product. The protein that facilitates that is called an enzyme. Now, once the food is in the stomach, it gets hit with acids, pretty much hydrochloric acid, if we're talking about the stomach, and gets broken down into something called chyme. That's C-H-Y-M-E. Now, I see gastric bypass surgery as a last resort, and here's why. Because once you cut out the stomach, the wonderful but complicated process of what happens to your food when you eat it to make nutrients is going to get all messed up. For example, vitamin B12 has to be converted to the active form in your stomach, and it's helped out by a substance called the intrinsic factor in your stomach. I know. The intrinsic factor sounds a bit like a CIA plot, but there you have it. This is necessary to get active B12 into your system. And B12 is crucial for a whole bunch of things. Without your stomach, this won't happen, and you'll probably need B12 injections. You also won't have the acids to break down your food. So next, in your stomach, that is if you're lucky to have one, food empties out through a valve called the pyloric valve. No need whatsoever to know that. After that, the food travels into your small intestines. Here's where the action happens. There are three main parts of the small intestines, the duodenum, the jejunum, and the ileum. The most breakdown of food occurs in the first part, called the duodenum. The most absorption of the nutrients happens in the jejunum. If there's a question about a leaky gut, it would be happening here. I have a few podcast episodes just on leaky gut, and I'll leave those episodes in the show notes. In my opinion, this is a big story with the whole what's happening to our food supply saga. Next, we have the third part, the ileum. The absorption of a few vitamins can occur here. Vitamin B12, as we've mentioned, vitamins A, D, E, and K. Then the slop that was once your food goes to your large intestines, whatever you haven't absorbed. If you've heard anything about your microbiome or your microbiota, these beneficial microbes play an important part in just about everything that goes on throughout your intestines. There are millions of beneficial bacteria that play different roles. But let's get back to the first part of the small intestines. In the first part, there is food that we're now calling chyme, hydrochloric acid, bile comes in from the liver or gallbladder, which helps to break down fat. You've got enzymes from the pancreas, and something called brush border enzymes. So what are these brush border enzymes, and why should we care? Brush border enzymes are found in little fingers along the wall of your small intestines. These finger-like projections line your small intestines, and they're called villi. These tiny little fingers along the wall are to increase surface area, and that will allow for efficient absorption of all kinds of nutrients. Then each of these villi, or a villus, breaks down into microvilli. So all of our macro and micronutrients are getting absorbed through all of these little microvilli. Your macronutrients are your protein, carbohydrate, and fat. Also, even though it's technically not a macronutrient, alcohol is absorbed here and burned in the liver like a fat. Now, contrary to popular belief, alcohol does not necessarily make sugar. Alcohol in excess will increase your fat cells. The micronutrients are your things like vitamins and minerals. Also extremely important, but we're talking about the macros today. So your proteins. These are what primarily makes up the structure of our cells, and they're at least 200 amino acids long. The proteins in food are broken down to individual amino acids, for example, tryptophan, and then they're absorbed through our intestines and into the bloodstream. Okay, so carbohydrates. These get absorbed through our intestines as simple sugars. Another name for simple sugars are monosaccharides. But the carbohydrates first, again, need to be broken down by those enzymes in the wall of our intestines. So an example of a monosaccharide is glucose or fructose. An example of a disaccharide is milk sugar or lactose, which is glucose plus galactose. Table sugar is sucrose, which is glucose plus fructose. Now, a polysaccharide is a very long string of sugars, and an example would be starch, the storage form of the polysaccharide in plants, or glycogen, which is the storage form of sugar in animals. Now, for the fats. Bile from the liver or gallbladder will help break down the fat in that brush border of our small intestines. Bile salts are there to help emulsify fats so that fat-soluble substances, obviously fat, but also vitamin D, will be able to swim in the water-soluble bloodstream. The pancreas releases an enzyme called lipase, which is further breaking down the fat. Now, all these fatty substances form a ball and become chylomicrons. These chylomicrons can swim in your bloodstream, but they're too big for teeny tiny blood capillaries. So they go through another system called the lymphatic system. Certainly no need to remember that. But this is where lipoproteins are formed. Now, there are different lipoproteins. As we may know, HDL, or high-density lipoproteins, function to control the cholesterol in our bloodstream by taking it to the liver to be destroyed. So that's why you want the cholesterol in your HDL fraction. On the other hand, LDL, or low-density lipoproteins, are the bad guys and are one of the singular most important risk factors for heart attacks and strokes. Basically, the higher the LDL, the higher the risk. These lipoprotein fractions also contain fatty acids. The more saturated fatty acids you have, say in red meat versus plant oils, the higher the risk. Our liver makes its own cholesterol, so we would do fine with very little, or in fact no cholesterol in our diets. However, just as much attention is now paid to the type of fat that comes from food. And this is why the Mediterranean diet people are respectfully disagreeing with the ketogenic diet people. You will certainly lose weight on a ketogenic diet, but as some people propose, it comes at a cost to the lining of your arteries in the form of plaque buildup. Now, I'm going off on a tangent here, but someone once asked me why there is plaque buildup on arteries and not veins. The reason is because the arteries are where the fatty food substances are. Your arteries deliver amino acids, simple sugars, and fat to your cells. By the time the food substances get to the capillaries and start heading up in the other direction towards the heart, they are depleted of oxygen and fat. And the blood vessels that are headed back to your heart are your veins. Anyway, fat is stored as triglycerides, which are three fatty acids and glycerol. The fatty acids themselves can be saturated, monounsaturated, or polyunsaturated. Most triglycerides, which is the storage form of fat in mammals, are a combination of all three. I'm running long, so I'll stop here and talk about a few things that are common problems and how to improve them. First, let's talk about the overuse of antibiotics and your healthy microbiota. I'm sure you've heard this story. We take antibiotics pretty freely in this country, in part because, as patients, we go in asking for them. But symptoms caused by a virus won't be cleared up with antibiotics. Once you've been taking the antibiotics for a couple of days, these meds will kill your good bacteria as well as your bad bacteria. As we've all learned today, ladies and gentlemen, you need a huge amount of good bacteria to maintain your intestines and absorb all those valuable nutrients. Without a healthy assortment of good bacteria, food will go through into your large intestines, not getting absorbed, and some maybe not so beneficial bacteria will feed on them. And this may cause bloating and diarrhea, which most people experience when they've been taking high doses of antibiotics. So it might be a good idea to follow up your antibiotics with some naturally fermented foods like yogurt or some probiotic supplements. The second thing I want to mention is that GI problems, it seems to me anyway, are becoming more common. A lot of people have symptoms of GI upset without any obvious cause. But if you have the flu or a flu-like set of symptoms, whatever's causing it can irritate the lining of your small intestines and knock off those enzymes like lactase, which breaks up milk sugar into the simple sugars. Then the lactose ends up in your large intestines, and symptoms of lactose intolerance can happen. And this is because the bacteria feed on the lactose, which should have been absorbed, and it causes gas and bloating. The third thing, and I think perhaps most importantly, is this thing about the leaky gut. As I've said before, I've dedicated an entire episode on leaky gut, and I recommend you take a listen, because I think it's very important right now. Many mainstream scientists now believe that leaky gut is a real thing, and that it may, in part at least, be caused by ingesting Roundup and other chemicals that are getting into our food supply. These harsh chemicals are damaging that delicate lining of all those little microvilli in our small intestines and maybe cutting a hole through them. This allows large substances like gluten to get through and into our bloodstream. Then our bodies think that these are foreign substances, i.e. the enemy, and attacks them. That sets off a bunch of immune responses and can result in inflammation. These inflammatory responses can cause a whole bunch of GI or skin or even brain conditions. What can you do about all of this? Well, I know, you know, I'm about to say this, but eating a whole foods diet as much as possible in its natural state is the first step to take. As much as your budget allows, it's great if you can stick to the organic foods, especially in the produce aisle. Organic chicken would also be a very good idea. And I say this because an organization has tested a large assortment of supermarket foods and found that most of them actually contained Roundup. More specifically, the active ingredient in Roundup called glyphosate. And yes, there have been studies looking at subjects on a whole foods plant-based diet using mostly organic produce, and many of their GI symptoms disappeared. I just mentioned gluten, and I have a podcast episode on that that I'll put up for you. Gluten is a very large protein found primarily in wheat, and it's not supposed to be absorbed without being broken down first, but it is getting through and into the bloodstream. That is the theory anyway. And the theory goes that gluten is considered an intruder and triggers an immune response when it gets to the bloodstream intact. Okay, I'll wrap this up because I'm getting long-winded. As always, if you have questions, feel free to contact me on my contact page. Also, I have a new chat box on my website, which is called Talk, spelled T-A-W-K. It's the green box at the bottom right-hand corner. If you click on that, you can text me with questions, and I'll respond as soon as I get the text. So be well, and stay tuned next week for another episode of Healing Outside the Box.